keys and the keyboard. He's a computer engineer over here. And also, him and I are working on making a new website for our church. That's going to be clean, simple, and really great for any online visitors. So if you'd say a prayer for us while we're planning that. I want to thank you all for your warm welcome of my dear fiance and my beloved mother. It's been a blessing to have them up here, and we thank you that you're open-hearted to celebrating us tomorrow. We're really excited to celebrate with you guys, so thank you. Why don't we have another word of prayer, though, as we get into the word. Father in heaven, we want to praise you as a God of good gifts. Your word says that every good and perfect gift comes from you, with whom there's no shadow of turning. We know you don't change on us, that you always have a heart to love us, to give us the best. And you've given us your Son, the greatest gift we could ever receive and never ask for. I want to pray for everyone here this morning. As we're meditating on the word, give us spiritual insight, give us a spiritual hunger, a hunger and thirst for righteousness, Lord, that would guide us in our paths in this life, Lord. May we learn today how to be more like you, how to love each other more like you, how to share the gospel more like you. We thank you for this time. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So, the whole town had burned down. The walls, the palace, the temple, the homes were all in smoke. Thousands had been taken away, and only the poorest of the poor remained to care for the crops. Where was this? This was Jerusalem. It was a sad place to be, but it was a place where promise was laying in the dirt, waiting 70 years before it would blossom into new life. Jeremiah 29 is where we're going to be studying today. And most of you are familiar with the promise of Jeremiah 29:11. But seldom is talked about is the call to action of this book. Not only is it to seek God, but it's actually to become a blessing where you're at, where you're planted. Turn with me to Jeremiah 29:1. In this book, in this chapter, the exiles have already been taken away, and they are wandered thousands of miles through hot, sandy desert to an unknown place called Babylon. And I don't know about you, if you've ever were moving in your families when you were young, but I never moved. My parents still live in the same home we grew up in. It's all paid off and everything. And so it's like, there was this stability for years. But I have other friends, they moved every couple years because their parents had work that carried them all over America. And something they told me is that it was kind of hard to form relationships moving, everything changing so much. I don't know what it is. When things change, it's hard to just be yourself and live life as normal. There's always a kind of have to get used to your environment, the new people, maybe new food, the new routine. And here, Jeremiah's own people are in a new place, having to get used to it. But they're hearing two voices as they're navigating these new experiences. One voice is saying, hey guys, don't worry, you're going to be leaving soon. So don't untie your shoelaces. Don't unpack your bags. Like, you're not going to be here very long. Then there's the other voice saying, settle down. You're going to be here a long time, but it's going to be for your benefit. So in this chapter, what we're exploring is how the prospering of God's people is not dependent on circumstance, but on his covenant love to them. So let's begin in verse 1. These are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders of the exiles, to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. We're going to move to verse 3. The letter was sent by the hand of Elisha, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. It said, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons. Give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there. Do not decrease." But let's see what he says. "For thus says the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams that they dream. For it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, declares the Lord." We'll pause there. Essentially, there were people having dreams that they thought were from God, and they'd wake up the next morning and they'd go to the religious leaders and they'd try to pass this a message around to everybody. But you know what was the problem with these dreams? And it's a problem really with any dream we come up with on our own, not acknowledging God as our creator and as our savior. These dreams didn't require us, the heart of the people, to change, to love God more and trust him more. They said, "You're going to find your peace carrying on as you always did. Things not changing. That's where your peace is. You're going to find your peace by running away from this problem. God can't bring you peace here," is essentially the message. And so they suffered and suffered and suffered. You know, as I was reading this story, I was like, man, how do we relate to this? You know, we have our religious freedoms here in America, right? We have people who love us. And I was thinking, how do we relate to this? And I thought, you know what? All of us have been in the Israelites' shoes, the people of Judah's shoes. Either we got into a hard situation by our own actions, or we got put somewhere because of something someone else did. There are people in this world who have experienced traumas growing up. They didn't choose to be in the family they grew up in with the circumstances they did. Somebody else's choices put them there. And as an adult, as a teenager, they'd have to work through that. But then there are other situations in life. We put ourselves there. Whether it was through fear or pride or jealousy or greed, impatience, we created our own hardship. And what we have in this story are these two groups, or this one group. They were there because of their own sin. But there was a second group, who were faithful to God, and they were there because of everyone else's sin. They did not choose to be there. It wasn't their fault. Remember what Jesus said, though, about wheat and tares? If you try to tear up the wheat, the tares, you're going to pull out some of the wheat. God doesn't change, and he knew. If he only condemned some people and not the whole nation, there would be the effect of righteousness would not sink into the people. He had to let them all face it as a body of believers. So they had these two groups. And now there's these two voices. One saying, "Hey guys, you don't need to change. Everything's all right. Just run away from the hardship." And the other group is saying, "No, God is going to prosper you right where you stand. They are lying to you. I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place." Their longing for home, for some, would be satiated. Many would die in captivity of old age. But what God was telling them, that they were going to prosper there. You know, I think the hardest thing as Christians, we come to Christ and we start to see the struggle in us, the sin in us, the selfishness in us, and we need to let him change us. But there is that voice that'll try to get us to justify our behavior. Try to get us to think we can walk with God and hold on to unbelief, hold on to sin, and just kind of carry on as usual. There's this voice that speaks to the fleshly part of us, like these lying prophets. It says, "Peace, peace. relax. You don't need to fret. All is well. When really, there's a part of our heart dying to Jesus. And Jesus wants to reconnect with that, that we can trust him and be like him. And so we are faced with the question, will we run away from the struggle, escape it, avoid it, ignore it, sweep it under the rug, excuse it, rationalize it, justify it, or will we let the promise of God be our peace? They were going to have to stay there 70 years. That's the bad news. The news they don't want to accept. But the good news is there'll be blessings there. So when we let go of unbelief and sin, the momentary feeling of bad news is, man, I have to let go of this thing. But the good news is it'll be better afterwards. Why? Because now you're trusting in the promise of God and not your own strength. I want to share with you a story of an amazing woman. Her name's Eugenia Price. She was the first radio broadcaster on NBC. First woman on NBC. This was in the 40s. So this was a long time ago. But in 1949, she experienced a conversion, and this changed her world. Eugenia Price was a woman the world would call successful. She broke barriers, becoming the first female head writer for NBC's radio dramas. She was a sharp mind in a man's world, a respected voice in secular entertainment. She didn't believe in God. She believed in herself, a lot like Israel. But behind the scenes, Eugenia was unraveling. Her success couldn't silence the ache inside. Her intellect couldn't answer the deep hunger in her soul. Then in 1949, something cracked open. In a moment of desperate searching, she picked up a Bible, not out of faith, but out of curiosity. She opened to the Gospel of John, and there, through the words of Scripture, she met Jesus. And truly, Jesus met her there. She later wrote this, "I discovered that the emptiness in me was shaped exactly like Jesus." That night, Eugenia dropped to her knees and surrendered her life to Jesus Christ. But listen, her story of resilience didn't start there. It started in what came next. Because when she gave her life to Christ, she didn't just gain a new belief. She lost her old world. That was the world she knew how to navigate. She knew what was expected of her, how to get what she wanted. But now she's in a whole new place with God, and all she has is to trust him and follow him. She walked away from fame and financial security. She turned down lucrative contracts. She was mocked by colleagues, misunderstood by friends, and faced seasons of loneliness as she followed a narrow path. But she refused to look back. She clung to her calling with fierce faith. In her 40s, she started all over. This time as a Christian writer. Not everyone welcomed her in church circles either. She was bold, honest, raw. She wrote about struggle, doubt, surrender, and she refused to water it down. Later in life, when she was inspired to write historical fiction rooted in faith, she didn't take shortcuts. She researched for years, traveled, studied gravestones and courthouse records, determined to tell the truth well, to glorify God through excellence. And her books didn't reach a few hundred thousand. With Jesus, her books reached millions. But more than that, her life shouted the truth. Jesus is worth everything. And when you fall in love with him, you don't retreat, you rise. Eugenia Price teaches us this crucial lesson that resilience isn't just surviving hard things. It's choosing to follow Jesus with everything, even when it costs you everything. Then you experience Him providing for you in all that you needed. It's staying faithful when it's lonely. It's starting over when no one understands. It's writing again when your hands are tired and your heart is doubting and aching. It's saying yes to Jesus again and again. Hebrews 12:1-2 tells us, "Let us run with endurance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." Friends, today, maybe you have been called to a certain kind of resilience in your life. It's not flashy faith, but it's faith with staying power, something that doesn't disappoint. The kind that outlasts the pain, it walks away from the comforts of life into the comfortable arms of God's providence. Holds on to Jesus, because He's your only hope. He is. And like Eugenia, you don't have to be perfect. You just have to say yes and keep saying, "Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus." And you will see this transformation. Now we will read these most famous texts in Jeremiah 29, the promise to all who say yes again and again. Verse 11, 12, and 13, and 14. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart.